left off. We talked about wisdom last week. We're studying that time and what the words mean. Know and how. Knowing what to do and how to do it. That's wisdom. God is knowing what to do in light of what God has told us to do and relying on Him for the strength and understanding to do it. That's true wisdom. We went through a variety of wisdom cannot exist without a knowledge of all the facts pertinent to any purpose or plan. You have to know what to do before you can attempt to do it. That's it. God knows everything. Theologians use the term omniscience when speaking of God's all knowing. Not some, not a little bit, not almost, but all knowing. God knows everything about everything. He knows what men are thinking. I would ask Gary, turn to Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 5. I don't know if that's you. Knows everything. This is going to happen. He even knows what could happen under any set of circumstances. I would ask Joe, who's trying to get there. Let's hold the first thing. 23. God knows. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. God cannot devise a plan or fail to bring his promises to their conclusion because he knows everything. God would have for us. Solomon was in a position where God said he could have anything he wanted. Wisdom is understanding what's right. Is that evident in what Nancy just read? Yes, thank you. It's evident. Solomon could have had anything. He could have had the destruction of his enemies. And this, at peace, he could have asked for wealth and had any and everything he could have commanded. He asked for wisdom. God gave him. And what do we know about Solomon? Ever. He was the richest man ever. Because he desired the proper thing. He desired wisdom. Understanding. Know what God wants. Joshua had been given wisdom on how to lead the nation of Israel. A.W. Tozer, great man of God, J.I. Packer, had defined wisdom as follows. He's a great man. They are not writers of nor the Old Testament, but always carries strong moral connotations. It is conceived as being pure, loving, and good. Wisdom, among other things, is the ability to devise perfect ends to achieve those ends in the most perfect means. Let me say that again. It is the ability to devise doing something here so it turns out good over here. The means to the end. To devise perfect ends and to receive those ends by the most perfect means. It sees the end from the beginning so that there can be no guess or conjecture. Wisdom sees everything in focus, each in proper relation. Thus is able to work towards predetermined goals or predestined goals with flawless precision. J.I. Packer writes, wisdom is the power to see and an inclination to see the best and the highest goals. Together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral wisdom. As such, it is found in the fullness only in God. He is naturally and entirely and invariably wise. There is no by the fallen, it's not always perfect. We know how fallen we are. In God's economy, everything he does is wisdom, is perfect, his knowledge is perfect, because he sees and knows all. When it comes to the wisdom of God, pictures is worth more than a thousand words. And we look at a few passages in Scripture which speak of God's wisdom. Where I want you to try and discern where God's wisdom is, and we know nothing happens without his voice, that he is all wise, all knowing, and all powerful. We've discussed all of those things. So, in light of knowing that, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Now, this is familiar. We've talked about this a couple of times, but I don't believe we've talked about it in the light of God's wisdom. If I say, Nancy, you're wise, what am I saying? That what you do is thought out, and the desire of your plan is to bring honor and glory to God. Okay, that's wisdom. Right here. God's plan. As we look at Genesis chapter 3, I want you to think about that. Let's read it. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God says, you shall not eat garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband, and he ate. This is the fall of man. Okay? This is disobedience personified here in Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God. It's like such a simple thing that taps all of us into the life that we have now. Well, we die. There was no death before this. There was no death before this. They walked with God in the garden in perfect harmony. Everything they did was pleasing to him, and he walked side by side with them. What caused this downfall? Can we blame it on Satan? Can we? And how wise is our God if he allows something like this to happen? You have to ask the question. Because we know God is all wise. We know God is all-knowing. I mean, he knew what was going to happen before he created life with Adam and Eve. So is God truly all-wise? Does he know what to do and how to do it? Okay. So I agree with you. Let me start there. I don't want anybody to think that I believe that God is not completely wise, completely holy, completely just, completely right. That's not what I'm saying. On the surface, it looks like, okay, Satan pulled a fast one. He got something over on God because he deceived the woman, woman bought into the lie that she would not die, and she ate of the only thing God forbade, which was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To this point, they didn't know what evil was. They only knew good. Look at this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, God said of the tree in the garden, you may eat. And that it was a delight to the eye. Everything God made was good. He started at the beginning. And he created. And at every point in time after he created, whether it was the land, the sky, earth itself, when he had accomplished the task that he was doing. It was all good. What happened? I would say yes. Okay? You know what forbidden fruit is? Where was I? They wanted more. Okay. Now, what do we know about Adam and Eve at this point in time? They're not sinful creatures. They're not. Of any tree in the garden you may eat. Yes. They stand there. They're right to see. God wouldn't be God if he didn't give us that. So what happened? Had God not spent enough time with Adam and Eve to teach them enough so that when something like this came up, they would know? It isn't a matter of obedience. God said, of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, on the day you of it, you shall surely die. And what did Satan do? He wasn't coming at her with, you know, bright lights and visions of some future. You're going to die. Really, you're going to die. So then, Eve reasoned to herself. She saw that the tree was good for food. It was. But not that tree. God had forbade that they needed that tree. She saw that the tree was good for food. That it was a delight to the eye to do something again. Attractive. Pretty. Colorful. It smelled good. I don't know. And then it was desirous to make one wise. We know something that we don't know yet. We spend our entire lives trying to figure out what we don't know, trying to figure out what it is, so that we can understand. No difference here. This is actually what theologians call the original sin. Lust of the eyes, lust of the verse 6 informs the reader just how Eve came to receive the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. She perceived it was good, but the fruit she saw, she came God has it. He's with me. Thank you. bottom line, Eve was disobedient. All comes back to you. Believing you have a greater knowledge than God can say, God, I'm okay. Of every tree, and I'm teaching this to God, of every tree of knowledge of the garden, you may eat, but that one, I don't know if you can put it in the right hand. You just said that. I'm just going to say, you didn't point it out, come to where we are. You said, every tree you can eat, that goes back. Maybe you want that. Maybe you eat it, but you're going to die. That they had a knowledge of things that we will only experience after we die. That's the kind of thing that the relationship they have that we don't. We try for it. We need to take it. We have to understand it. But their knowledge, their understanding of this single God was so far more, so much. What?